Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. In the late 19th century, civil rights pioneers Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass lived near each other in Rochester, New York. They were friends and often supported each other as they fought for the rights of women and African Americans in America.
A new children's book, Two Friends, Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass, depicts the story of this historic friendship. Written by Madison author Dean Robbins and illustrated by Sean Qualls and Selena Alco, the book imagines a conversation between two of America's greatest 19th century civil rights pioneers over a cup of tea.
We reached Robbins at his home back in January when the book came out. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
What first interested you in the friendship between Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass?
Well, I love heroes. Ever since I was a little kid, I've had a whole string of heroes that I wanted to be like when I grew up. I was drawn to sports figures who were also moral exemplars, and to historical figures who faced unimaginable odds. I like visiting places that are associated with my heroes, and so in this case, I was on a trip to Rochester, New York, because I knew that both Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass had lived there. My family and I visited the house where Susan B. Anthony had lived, which is now a National Historic Landmark, and the tour guide pointed out the parlor where both Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass, she said, would sit and have tea. Well, I've read a lot about 19th century reform movements, and I didn't realize that these two titans of 19th century civil rights movements were actually friends and neighbors and would sit and have tea and support one another's causes.
It really is remarkable that they knew each other at all, let alone were in the same place and at the same time and were friends.
They were, and they also supported one another's causes. Frederick was heavily involved in the women's rights movement, and Susan was a very strong abolitionist.
The meeting you depict in the book, the two of them having tea, it is not based on any one particular event, right? But this is something that they did.
Right. No, I imagined what the meeting was like. The book isn't a straight history. One reviewer called it a thought-provoking reverie, and I like that description. There are plenty of straight histories about Susan B. Anthony for kids and Frederick Douglass for kids. This is more a meditation on a snowy day in Rochester, New York, when these two civil rights titans, who also happen to be close friends and neighbors, sat down to talk about their work in freedom and equality and to support one another. They enjoy a blessed moment of serenity before going out once again to face adversity and try to change the world.
Basically, your readers are generally pretty young for this book. Is the idea to just kind of pique their interest and give them a thumbnail sketch of who these two really remarkable people were?
Exactly. Yeah, the audience is kids who are 4 to 10, and it was a challenge to find language about women's suffrage and abolition that they could understand. I hope they'll come away feeling inspired by these two amazing heroes and see that it is possible to make the world a better place in spite of almost unimaginable odds. I also hope they'll see how much you can learn and how much you can do when you work with someone from a different background.
Well, and the thing that's remarkable and that I think you capture in the language is just how similar their goals were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were both radical egalitarians. They both believed in the dignity and the worth of every person. It's kind of amazing to wrap your mind around people who were so far ahead of their time in terms of their moral vision, and who were willing to work so hard to make it a reality.
You've written a lot for a lot of places and a lot of forms. This is, though, your first picture book, right?
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to take this particular topic on in this particular form?
Well, I actually started this whole children's book journey about 10 years ago. As I said, I've always been drawn to heroes. I was at home reading a biography of one of my childhood crushes, Babe Ruth, and a friend came over, and I was telling her an anecdote from the book with way too much intensity, arms waving and eyes bugging out.
Now you need to tell us which particular anecdote that was.
It was a story about a kid who wasn't such a great pitcher, who had amazing luck striking out Babe Ruth. So I was telling her this story, and she said, you should really channel your crazy hero worship into writing a book about this topic for kids. Well, it seemed like kind of a strange suggestion, but I quickly grasped how gratifying it would be to try to get kids as passionate about Babe Ruth and maybe some of my other heroes as I am. So So I wrote the story, and I sent it off to a publisher called Harcourt, and they immediately accepted it. And they said, do you have any other ideas? And I said, are you kidding? So I quickly wrote a book about my hero Jackie Robinson, and another book about my hero Louis Armstrong, and they accepted those too. As a journalist, I'm used to the long, hard slog of trying to get articles placed in national publications, where they either send you a rejection notice or ignore you altogether. But by contrast, getting a children's book accepted seemed incredibly easy. It really seemed too good to be true. And in fact, it was. Harcourt was acquired by Houghton Mifflin. The economy tanked in 2008. The people that championed my books left the company. The publishing industry retrenched, and all of a sudden, my books were orphaned there. But I was having way too much fun writing kids' books to stop, so I reverted to what I was used to from journalism, which is the long, hard slog. I found an agent, started writing lots of other children's book manuscripts, and started piling up rejection notices. I was starting to wonder if I had actually fantasized the whole thing about having had three manuscripts accepted. But here I am 10 years later. I got Scholastic interested in this book about Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. And finally, there's a hardcover book on the shelves.
Was there something about the timing of these two people? I mean, is there something especially timely about the story, either of this friendship or of the odds that the two of them had to overcome that, mm-hmm. that makes this especially relevant today?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We're living in a time when we're questioning American heroes, people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, whose behavior didn't always measure up to modern-day standards. Well, Susan B. Anthony's behavior and Frederick Douglass's behavior does measure up to modern-day standards, even though they lived 200 years ago. They both insisted that the United States live up to the highest ideals of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and they never compromised their principles. So I think that does touch a chord for people today.
How much work did you do? How much contact did you have with the illustrators behind this book, if any?
The illustrators were chosen by Scholastic, and so we would interact a little bit. I provided the text, and Scholastic chose Sean Qualls and Selena Alco, who have a track record of beautiful children's books. They're actually a husband and wife team. I mostly just marveled as I saw the sketches come in. As somebody who had nothing to do with the art, I just couldn't believe the painterly richness and the textural depth that they were able to achieve. They picked up on a mood in the text and just evoked it beautifully.
Well, and the other thing that really struck me was their use of actual texts from both Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, that was very clever. They embedded words everywhere. In some cases, you can see them easily. In other cases, you have to look hard. You'll see words in people's clothing, in the roads, in the steam coming out of a cup of tea, even in butterfly wings. I think they picked up an idea in the text in which Susan and Frederick were constantly reading and writing and talking about their ideas regarding freedom and equality. The illustrations show in a poetic kind of way that their words were spreading everywhere and that people were starting to agree with them.
And I found myself as an older reader reading the words on the page and then, you know, turning the book so that I was able to better read the words that were embedded in these places like book covers and roads and steam and such.
Yeah, it really gives the presentation a richness that I don't often see in nonfiction children's books.
It's interesting in the sort of postscripts. There's a reference to a statue in Rochester that exists, and I have seen this statue, and it is it's in a neighborhood park, and by golly, there are Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony drinking tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right in the neighborhood where both of them had lived. After I had toured the Susan B. Anthony house on this family trip, we were walking around this neighborhood and stumbled on this small park, and there they were. And that's really when I got the idea of telling a story about this wonderful and little-known friendship.
Who else were your heroes? You mentioned Babe Ruth. You mentioned Jackie Robinson. Who might we be treated to read in a future Dean Robbins picture book or other children's book?
Mm-hmm. I've got two other ones coming out on Knopf. One is called Miss Paul and the President, which is about the suffragist Alice Paul and her creative methods of trying to get Woodrow Wilson support in the 19-teens for women's right to vote. And my other one is coming out in summer of 2017, and that is called Margaret and the Moon. It's about a computer scientist named Margaret Hamilton, who was a pioneering woman in the field of computer science. She worked with NASA to get astronauts safely to the moon and back, and she actually, her brilliant programming helped save the first moon landing from turning into a disaster.
So it sounds like the long, hard slog is paying off.
The long, hard slog is paying off, finally. I guess if you stick with it for 10 years, maybe something will happen.
And perhaps someone will write a picture book about you someday.
No, very unlikely.
Well, it's a delightful book, and Dean Robbins, I'm so grateful that you shared it with us. Best of luck with this, and we'll be looking for the next two, at least.
Great. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me on.
Madison author Dean Robbins' newest book for young readers is called Two Friends, Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. We spoke with him in January ahead of a visit to Boswell Book Company. There's more information about the book at wuwm.com.